Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
250.
250.
How's it going, Scott?
Going pretty good. How about yourself, Andy?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm a little confused. It's been a week since our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing another one.
Yeah.
Are we back on a schedule?
Ish.
Oh, well. Miracles do not cease to happen.
They do not.
How was your actual week, Scott?
My actual week was pretty okay. I'm trying to find my calendar right now and not succeeding. So I will have to pull up a new calendar. I don't know where it went. But yeah, overall, pretty good week. Basically, not much happened other than dog walking and stuff. On Saturday, we had, I was able to make it out to your housewarming party, which was awesome.
You were?
And yeah, you didn't see me, but I was there.
Oh, no, I saw you. I saw you. I'm just actively ignoring you in retrospect.
And then had the Poe reading that went really well. In fact, someone came up to me and told me that Edgar would be very proud of my rendition.
Now, a Poe reading is like a regular reading, except for it's mixed with mayonnaise and cocktail sauce and put on a hard roll, right? That's a Poe boy. Never mind.
Right.
Right.
So it was really nice. My next door neighbor just told me today that by the end I had her in tears. So that was great. Not something that typically happens with Poe. So I was happy that my interpretation was well met.
Yeah, that's fantastic, dude.
And then tomorrow, Ray will be undergoing the scalpel for a little
Barker
fixing.
Style. Yeah,
and trying not to let her in on that fact. So we went to the dog park today and had a really good run, and she got to hang out with her buddy Rennie.
Cool.
She's getting snipped. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday after the Seahawks win, I went out and, I cleaned all the floors in-house. And then I went out and tried to tame the front hedge that, if anybody's been by recently, which would be you or Rob, it has grown horizontally quite aggressively. So my 44-gallon or whatever the huge garbage can is for yard waste is overfull. But managed to get it all done and all in the can. I was dreading it. At one point, I was like about halfway done going, this isn't all going to fit in the can. But it did.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad it did.
Yes.
Fantastic. So I guess my week was... it started off similar to yours on account of it was the same place. So, on Saturday we had our friends and family housewarming. I did a work one a few weeks ago that did not, nobody came except for one person. So Chris showed up and that was it. Good turnout on Saturday, especially considering how far we are out of town. After you came, the Downing showed up. So our real estate agent, Rebecca, showed up with her husband, Metal Jesus, who you've met.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. Rival was here. Taylor Berman from the Glitch group showed up. And then we had Khalees and Chris.
Gordon D. Duke.
Not just any Gordon Duke.
No.
Our Gordon Duke.
That's right.
Gordon showed up with scotch.
Mmm.
Like Gordons do.
Yes.
So.
And I didn't have any.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it happens. Yeah. Brian did. Brian also showed up later. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So we did grilling. We did just general snacks. We played Trivial Pursuit at one point. Tiff brought us soaps. And I guess she is now like making handmade soap. And it's amazing. Hmm. It is amazing stuff. One of them took me immediately back to school in the 80s. So I'm going to have to let you smell that one because I feel like it's going to do the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mid to early 80s is kind of where the smell brings me.
Like the powdered borax type stuff?
It's like...
Or the pink soap.
So that's the smell that I get off of it.
Mm.
Is the powder, the gritty powder soap.
Mm-hmm.
And which always smelled fantastic, but it felt like dying. And yeah. This is just the smell without that feeling of death. So very, very nostalgic. A lot of geek-based scents. So definitely something that hopefully when she gets the manufacturing a little more regular, we will definitely be sharing that because it's pretty awesome stuff. So, and also I forgot to get the information to share it aside from her Instagram, which I do not have access to right now because I am on a PC. So, and Instagram sucks on PC. So I will try to get that information. And if I can get it before Seth gets to the links, maybe we can put it in there. Mm-hmm. That being said, fantastic gifts. We played, like I said, we played Trivial Pursuit. It was a lot of fun. Then yesterday, basically, I ate myself sick at the party.
Mm.
And I was originally going to go to my cousin's birthday party, but I did not feel very well. So I stayed home and ended up going to bed at like an old person hour, like 9:30 or something. but Aaron and Michael went to see Todrick Hall. So that was really cool. Yeah, and the remainder of the week was just Todrick Hall. He is a musician, fantastic, fantastic show. Lots of choreographed dancing, amazing costumes, all that stuff. So Todrick Hall, highly recommended. Go check him out on YouTube. The other big thing that happened, like, because most of the week was just work, right? That was what, like, either work here, cleaning up stuff, moving stuff out of the main living area, running speaker cable, all that crap. And then work at the work job, which we just shipped a feature. So it was very crunchy the last couple of weeks. But that being said, we literally released it today. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. And on Friday, with Game Pass, which if you don't have Game Pass, I think I've extolled its virtues before. Go get Game Pass. It's amazing. I think Ultimate is like $15 a month, and that covers your PC and your Xbox if you have an Xbox, and you get access to all sorts of games, including some brand new ones like The Outer Worlds. So I am playing The Outer Worlds without having to spend an extra cent or waiting for it to become a Steam store purchase, because a lot of people, you know, have to have that. Because they don't want to support Epic. You've already heard me. I don't give a shit about Epic. It's another game store. Just if you want stuff that's on it, go buy stuff that's on it. So Outer Worlds, fantastic. Like, fantastic. It is, it's the people who made Fallout New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are familiar with Fallout, so after Fallout 3, but before Fallout 4, there was this amazing story-driven linear campaign called New Vegas. This is by those people, but they didn't have Bethesda breathing down their necks. They didn't have all of the sort of requirements that you have when you're in someone else's world, because they were in the Fallout world, so they didn't have full freedom. So it is this huge pun-filled, referential space RPG. It's tons of fun. It's a lot of fun. So if you have the means to play Outer Worlds, I highly recommend playing The Outer Worlds. Yeah, and that's about it. That's probably what I'm going to do after the podcast. So chop chop, let's go.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen pictures. It looks pretty good.
It's beautiful for one, and very smooth. I've got beefy hardware, so it runs very well, but I've heard it runs just as well on like Xbox One X. I'm sure it runs well on PS4 Pro. I have an Intel / NVIDIA setup. My son has a Ryzen AMD, full AMD setup. It looks amazing on both. So yeah, it's great.
Nice.
Very funny, very well written. Like the writing is top notch. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I posted something along the lines of before I even got to control my character, Rick Sanchez rescued me from Miranda, pointed me toward Han Solo, who I crushed like the Wicked Witch of the East. This is all before I even got to control my character. So it's pretty great. Lots of little funny things, lots and lots of references, to the point where you probably, there are so many references, you're going to probably have to go look up a website or a web list of them eventually, because there are so damn many. You'd probably have to play through, you know, many, many times to even come close to seeing them all. But yeah, like it's pretty amazing. And the characters, the NPCs are just great. They're well written. They're fully fleshed out. They all have very differing and distinct personalities. Voice acting is of course top notch. You got your Ashley Birch doing some voices in there again. It's great. It's just great.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, so should we get to last week's question? I mean, we might as well get to it because they're already getting to Christmas stuff elsewhere. So.
Yeah. Oh, other thing. Yeah. We will be at least next week on Monday again, if you're available.
Yes. Yes, I should
be. Let me double check. Yeah. Because I am taking Steven Salaminovich's acting class over the weekend. So.
Salaminovich.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, that's just it.
Yeah, crib me some notes, and that way I don't have to take it.
Yeah, for
sure. I'll just get audit credit.
Yep.
No. So, last week we asked, of the fall / winter holidays, what is your favorite and why? And we got some pretty good answers. Rival guy answered Halloween, because it's the holiday that best encourages a healthy society, which I completely agree with. It's the night when you are charitable and charitable to and trusting of your neighbors, even if they're strangers, because we all come together to have some fun. And in addition to that, of course, you're trusting of people wearing masks. And yeah, I think it's I agree. I agree with that, especially given the American Halloween, sort of how it came about with I believe it was a woman who was sick of having her garden trampled. By Hell Knight, like, you know, ruffians, because that was kind of the original way it was celebrated, is people just kind of going batshit the purge style.
Huh.
Whereas, you know, this was like, hey, let's do some activities and dress up in fun costumes and do this thing and not trample my lawn. I agree. It's very much a society driven holiday.
Yes, it is.
Pardon me. Got a little bit of spilkus.
Rob McLennan writes, Christmas has too many memories of an alcoholic father forcing us to listen to 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and then finally leaving for good on Christmas Day.
Thanks,
I'm not
Phoebe
religious,
Cates.
So it's happy consumerism. Thanksgiving is good since we don't have a lot of relatives in the area, nor any who would travel thousands of miles to see us. I have to go with the popular opinion, though, and say Halloween. Childlike innocence over demonic themes and a couple of lady friends who do multiple costumes a season. That's for me.
Damn straight. Casey Lee writes, Halloween. We got a winner here, folks. Love the outfits. The creative ones that you know are one of a kind, are the best, which I absolutely agree with. Even if the skill level on the work is amateur, it's a wonderful thing to see. I would call it a maker holiday, that's actually really interesting, because outside of conventions, you're right. It is the cosplay holiday. So yeah.
Dougie Sharp also chimes in with Halloween, because it doesn't require a large family gathering. Also, New Year's Eve, just a fun night.
Yeah, yeah. Now that we don't live next to mad fireworkers, I probably agree with that. James Peters writes, I have always had fond memories of Christmas. Oh, he's the outlier. I'm one of those incredibly lucky people whose family all gets along, and Christmas was always a time for us to get together and see each other. I am really sorry. My throat is just giving me troubles here. We'd gather at my grandparents' house in San Diego, or San Diego, if you are to believe that, and open presents together. My father, and later myself, passing out presents for someone to open while we all watch and chat. I also really love surprise presents, so that's a thing. I'd much rather a $20 surprise than a $100 gift I know is coming. Sadly, my grandmother passed away last year, and with the San Diego house sold, the tradition seems as though it will end now. You don't have to let it. I'm very excited not to have to travel for Christmas this year, but it will still be a little bit sad. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's in the parking lot of a Hilton, as long as you're with family, you know, keep it going. Keep it going full steam.
Yep.
Too sweet to be sour, too nice to be mean. That is pretty sweet, though, and I do have my Christmas traditions. I have a big Thanksgiving tradition, which is get up to start cooking, turn on MST3K, and just laugh my ass off while picking at food that's probably not quite ready to eat yet. And then for Christmas, it's Star Wars. It's the original trilogy. It's, it's 4, 5, and 6. Sometimes it goes back and forth, but sometimes it's Indiana Jones. Sometimes it's Back to the Future. Usually, though, it's just Star Wars.
I don't really have any. We don't really have any traditions like that. It would be nice if we did, but it never came about. And I don't know what Jen and I would both agree on for quote fun times, like, you know, Christmas. Yeah. I don't think she'd go for movie marathon or anything like that. So
for the last few years, at least this time of year, you've gone to see whatever the big movie is around Christmas.
Yes.
And I think that's continuing this year.
Yes. We'll be going to see the new Star Wars movie.
The Stars War. Yes. Yes. Star War.
But not on Christmas
Day. Because I literally just said that I watched Star Wars. No, not on Christmas Day, but, you know, I guess Lord of the Rings would have been, because those were Christmas Day movies, right? Or was it Harry Potter was one of the ones that was releasing on Christmas Day?
I can't remember if Harry Potter was. Lord of the Rings was, for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to say Harry Potter was more of a summer release so that all the kids could see it, but I could be completely wrong in that.
I feel Harry Potter's another one that sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I like to marathon. But yeah, maybe it's not Christmas. I just have very Christmassy memories of it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's when it was released, because again, I watch it, you know, around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's question, I think, unless you have one that's burning a hole in your pocket.
Nope.
Okay. So, one of the ubiquitous things that happens this time of year is pumpkin spice. Everything is pumpkin spice, right? You've got pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin spice prostate exams, pumpkin spice everything, okay? It's like I have to, like, specifically go to a gas station that isn't offering diesel and pumpkin spice. So my question is, if you could choose a flavor to get the same notoriety as pumpkin spice for this chunk of the year, what would it be? Maybe it'll be, you know, apple cinnamon. Maybe it'll be peppermint. Please don't let it be peppermint. That is a terrible flavor. That's for toothpaste and grandma's purses. That is not for real consumption. Maybe it's clove and orange, which was, I think that one, that might be mine, but because orange, like that citrusy association with the holidays is something that I don't see very much anymore, but it used to be a huge thing, right? The holidays were all cinnamon and peppermint and orange because that's when you'd get your special crazy fruit from the equator that didn't grow anywhere else. You know, but that's back when it was $6 in 1982 money for like a shot glass of orange juice. That was really, that was crazy back in those times. But yeah, like what would be your, and Scott, I would love to hear yours. What would be your flavor that takes over the world between September and the new year?
Irish cream.
Kind of figured. I was wondering. Or maybe just whiskey in general. But yeah, I was wondering.
Nah, I mean, whiskey's okay in coffee, but just, you know, when you think of that, you want something kind of sweet, something kind of desserty, something that smells good. Some people don't like the smell of whiskey. Irish cream is just, you know, you can put whiskey in it and it still tastes good. So yeah, that's I think what I would rather take off.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to go with the more holiday style orange flavor. So your spiced oranges, your mulled oranges, that sort of flavor. I really would love to see more stuff like that. You can get stuff kind of like that. You know, they'll do like orange. Oh, it's orange, and you know, it'll have to have like this essence of orange and orange oil and orange peel grated on the top and all this stuff. And it's like, all right. But pumpkin spice just gets, you know, shot in everything from a cannon from 20 feet away.
Yeah.
So I would like that just to try it. Just one year. I want to try it. Like I want to get orange milk. And I know that sounds weird, but I've made it before because, you know, we all have Tang as kids. And sometimes we were out of Quick.
Yeah.
It's really good, by the way.
Orange milk's just like a creamsicle.
It really is, yeah. Which, by the way, you missed. That was the drink I started making. Was creamsicles or dreamsicles, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah. So I guess we should get to some questions folks asked us.
Yes.
So Matthew Hunt asked, best Halloween costumes you've seen so far for 2019. So most of the ones I've seen have been online. And I did see a Pennywise at Fred Meyer, and it was okay. It was definitely a store-bought kind of thing. So meh. But I saw a film accurate Groot online, which was really amazing. But I've been seeing those for a few years. All was impressive. They use that, I forget what it's called, but it's this foam core stuff that you can mold. Really cool. I saw Switch controllers, which I thought was really funny. So people went as matched Switch controllers. I've seen a lot this year of, you know, every year you get that like one theme costume that everybody thinks that they thought of. And so they're geniuses, but also everybody thought of it. And this year it's the couple's costume of Instagram and reality, where someone goes dressed up like an Instagram pic. Usually if it's a heterosexual couple, usually the woman goes dressed up as the Instagram and then the man goes dressed up as the woman as reality. It's okay. It's kind of, you know, funny. I've seen a few Jeffrey Epstein's. That's not cool, but whatever. But yeah, and then every year, and they get better every year, someone does the Yip Yips from like Sesame Street. And I've seen some new pictures of the Yip Yips this year that are pretty great. I've seen a couple of Kratos online. They're all right. They're pretty cool. I mean, if you look like Kratos already, they're excellent. If you don't look like Kratos, you look weird, you know. And then, of course, I am already done, and this happens every single year, right? I'm done with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. There are so many online right now, and I just know that that's like, it's going to be a big one, right? Because it's, you know, you got to buy the suit, which is cool, because hopefully it'll bring purple suits back into style. But, you know, then it's makeup and like ratty hair and all this stuff. And it's cool. I mean, it happened when Heath Ledger was doing his Joker. There was a lot of the, you know, and the equivalent is the Harley Quinn costume that everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a few people doing the goose from Untitled Goose Game. That's funny, but it's also like, again, it's another one that's just like expected and it's flash in the pan and it will definitely lock you to this year. So yeah, that's about all I've seen this year that's been really awesome. How about you?
I haven't really seen any except for the picks that Jen keeps sending me to put Ray in. And I've already said the dog will not be in any costume of any kind. But the best one that I saw, and you got to think about it for a minute, but mm-hmm. was a postal delivery person.
Okay. Oh, wait, for Ray? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it. Oh, geez. That's pretty funny.
And it was really good because the front paws are the feet, and then they're mm-hmm. carrying like a box, and you pull
and
it over the
wiggles
head.
Back and
yeah. it was all also a small dog that was modeling it, so it looked appropriate.
Nice.
But it's just like, yeah, no.
Yeah. Brian and Scout came in amazing costumes to the housewarming. So they came as Crawley and Aziraphale from Good Omens.
Mm.
So that was awesome. Scout looked amazing as Crawley. And of course Brian, you know, Brian makes anything he wears look good. So what a jerk. So they were great though. They were great. At first, cause he was facing away, we were like, oh, he did Castiel, but he got the wings wrong. They're white. And then he turns around. We're like, oh, it's Aziraphale. Never mind. We're totally wrong. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Casey wrote a question that I forgot was here. I thought it was somewhere else. But mm-hmm. Casey Lee asks a question in regards to our potentially opening up podcast guesting mm-hmm. to others remotely. Is mm-hmm. I have a pop filter, boom stand, and mic. What else would I need from a personality to get on the podcast?
Aside from a personality?
You'd need a cable.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get pedantic here. Yeah. Is your mic phantom powered? If not, you'll probably need a AA battery.
And you'd need some recording software of some kind, yeah. whether it's yeah. Audacity or we use Audition from Adobe. Yeah.
You can use...
There's a number out there. You could use GarageBand.
You can use Resolve. So for real, Resolve has Fairlight built into it, which is a yep. full audio recording. We haven't learned it yet. Shh, don't tell anybody. But yeah, that's... So you definitely need that. You need a way to talk to us while recording. So depending on your recording setup, you may or may not be able to use the same microphone to record... and to do the call for all of us to be together. You need an internet connection to be able to upload the file after you're done in a time that is reasonable. So, you know, 1.5 megabits probably isn't going to do it. You have to have at least, I'd say 7 to 15 would be the bare minimum because that's the only thing that's going to get it to us within like half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the ability to record 16-bit audio at 44.1 kilohertz minimum as a wave. So you also need the storage capability for that. And those would be the things that you really need. Personality doesn't hurt.
But not required. I mean, I don't have one.
Not required. I know, it's true. It's true. I have a publicality, so I don't even know what that is. But I'll ask a bunch of people. So Rob McLennan writes, what movie or play would you parody? Oh, geez. So I've always wanted to do, we've always wanted to do a Western regardless, but I don't think I want that to be a parody. I would love to parody Star Trek in some way. We've talked about this with our Make It So Frozen thing. Like we were going to do a whole video on that, but then we missed it and when you miss it, you miss it. You can't do it. So, you know, along those lines, I maybe Star Trek, for a play, My difficulty with picking a play to parody is most of the plays that I love are already heavily satire. So I don't know, maybe what's that American opera? End of the Affair or whatever? Maybe that thing sucked.
Yeah, all I can think of is Old Man River. And I can't even... Porgy and Bess, that's it.
Yeah.
Definitely an American opera. For me, there's not a lot of plays that I would like to parody because... It's harder to, quote, parody that. I guess it's not harder. I don't know. Movies, I think I would go for stalwarts like Citizen Kane or Casablanca.
Yes. That would be... Oh, got some crows going on.
Yeah. I heard them.
I have to mute my phone.
So, you know, I think something like that would be good because hopefully no one will ever remake those. And they're things that you could latch onto thematically and turn on its head.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to parody Death of a Salesman or
Mice
and Men, like, punching, or something like
that. Those almost feel like punching down at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you look at some of the best parodies out there, they're either parodies of like those pop culture phenomenon movies. Like Airplane is a parody of Airport 57 or whatever. It's a parody of like that sort of disaster, the late 50s, early 60s disaster films, Poseidon Adventure, stuff like that.
Yep.
So
Towering Inferno.
Yeah. It was parodying the pop culture phenomenon. So, you know, people forget that that's what Sharknado really was about, was parodying Twister and, you know, Dante's Peak and all of these other absurdist disaster movies. And in that respect, it was kind of like brilliant satire at first. And then it kind of became its own thing. And now you could parody that movie. In fact, people have. In the newest Hitman game, if you do a very specific set of steps, you end up with a Moose-nado. You know, they had, what do they have? Tarantula lava lanch or something. It was like tarantula lava. They had bear avalanche too, I think. But there's like tarantulas in a volcano, and I don't know. So, you know, like how do you don't parody that stuff, right? And then some of the other best parodies, like Tom Stoppard, right, did a parody of a classic, because Hamlet was like, you know, an old ass play. Obviously, it was what, 500 years
old. You mean Rosencrantz and Guildenstern?
Yeah. He was making fun of Hamlet, right? He's parodying Hamlet.
No, it's taking two of the characters, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, that left.
If you don't consider that a parody, we're not using the same vocabulary. Because it's talking about them in their downtime in the play. They are included in the play. The portions of the play happen around them. So to me, that is an absolute parody. But I am fine with your definition if you say that's not one. I'm talking about parodies that are good, so I wanted to bring that one in because so many parodies suck.
Yeah.
Like the movies, for example, are usually terrible. Scary Movie was... What I don't get about Scary Movie, right, is Scary Movie was making fun of a movie that was literally a satire about scary movies. Scream was not a serious movie. It was a good horror movie, but that wasn't its intent. Its intent was to be a satire of horror movies, and to do that, it had to be a good horror movie. You know, Tucker and Dale is a great example of a parody of horror movies. But this is where it gets tough, right? Like, is Cabin in the Woods a parody or a satire? It is, right? It is. But it's a legitimate horror movie too. So, yeah, that's why I was bringing up Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And the other similar takes, like Wicked, for example. Wicked is a take on Frank Elbaum's Oz series. But again, like, you know, that's even less of a parody, right? Then, like, that's more the half of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern that doesn't occur within the play, because none of that really occurs within the actual Oz story, right? It all occurs either before or around. So, but again, the big issue there is, like, they're taking, I guess, beloved works would be the way to say it, right? Like, yeah. these are time-tested beloved works. Those are fair game usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do you know everybody gets to do the thing where they have that, like, really drunk 2 a.m. conversation about their theory of how, you know, like, Superman is capitalist propaganda, blah, 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 whatever, you know? So then maybe you come up with Red Sun, which is that a parody? It's serious. Does parody have to be comedy? I don't know. So, yeah, for me, it's like, what do I want to do? Well, it probably needs to be something a little more time-tested than Star Trek. You know, but I don't know. Like, Seattle's turned out some parodies that have done pretty well. And you might even say, potentially, that The Gamers and The Gamers Darkness Rising are somewhat parodies of fantasy genre films. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What would you do? Did you already say what you... Yeah, you kind of already said. I don't know. If you had to pick a play specifically, what play would you pick, Scott, parody?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No.
Ah. Do you find parody to be offensive to the original art?
No, I just can't think of a play that... To me, they're different things. A play is an instant gratification. So, like, The Book of Mormon, mm-hmm. you know, is a great comedy. One could say it's parodying something, but I wouldn't make a parody of West Side Story or anything like that. And so, because it's a live action, because it's an immediate art form, it's not something where you can throw it, you can go watch the parody and then go watch the original and compare and go, oh, okay, I get it. You know, we went and saw Evil Dead the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I don't know if what we saw is something that the person has put together or they just get the rights and do it as a traveling organization. I know Tacoma Little Theater is supposedly doing it. And when you look at it, it's obviously a parody of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find it on Hulu and I thought, oh yeah, let's watch it again. It doesn't really hold up. You have to be a diehard fan to really like it. So many problems with it. We could make a so much better film. You know, we got to a point where Jen's like, okay, I don't need to watch any of this anymore. I don't need to get the jokes that I didn't get from watching the play, because the play was, I didn't think anything would be worse than the play, and this movie is. You know,
okay.
So when you're watching those things, I feel like parodies of a thing that could be parodied already exist in that space. And so, I can't wrap my head around parodying a play.
Right. Well, and I mean, even so, one of the things
I take it back. Yeah. I have discovered one that I would parody the shit out of, but nobody knows it, so it wouldn't be effective.
Okay, but what is it?
It's a play called We the People.
Okay.
And it is something that I did in college, and it was a 3-hour monstrosity that no one in the audience will ever get that time back.
Oh, nice.
It had to do with senators. It was just this little slice of life. You had the Irish cops, and you had politicians, and it was just weird. And it's like, okay, this thing's such a piece of shit that I could take current events and kind of lift whole cloth these things that are real.
Right.
That could be turned into this thing.
Right.
And basically take all the beats out of it and make a new form. But
that's actually a great point, though. Like, if you weren't, if the question hadn't sort of walled you into, you know, movie or play, or I'm assuming like book, if we wanted to get, you know, go that way. But if it hadn't cornered you into that, like one of my favorite parody pieces, is it even parody? It's literally biographical. But have you ever seen American Dad by chance?
The cartoon?
The cartoon, yeah.
Some of it, yeah.
Okay, so there is an American Dad cartoon specifically where he's looking for Ollie North's gold in his house, right? I know. But they sing this gigantic Schoolhouse Rock style song about the Iran-Contra scandal.
Nice.
And it's fantastic. And it's basically like, you know, by the way, Ollie North and Ronald Reagan technically committed high treason. Just putting that out there. And they did, you know, like that's real. It happened. So it's like that. That's not even parody, though, right? That is a farcical sort of retelling of actual history. That's more of like what Hamilton is than it is a parody, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that there are definitely things out there. I think that that would be like an actual production meeting to decide, though, if we were like actually want to pull a trigger on it. Commercials are always good to parody, right?
Yeah.
Like, so there you go. Commercials are probably what we'd end up doing anyway, because they're just so easy.
Yeah, and they're short.
Ridiculous. They're short. They're ridiculous. They're stupid. They're so dumb.
And you know, they're meant to be so iconic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's short, digestible information that you can then just lift whole cloth, like the Pepsi Michael Jackson burning his hair, or Where is the Beef? Everyone understands what you're doing.
And Apple, I think, so 1984 won't be like 1984. Really? Really? You really? All right. Till you try to repair your computer, and then it's all like 1984 again. Or drop it 2 feet. I don't know. It depends on the model. Cool. Well, hey, this is this one's actually wrapping up on time, which is great. So I guess without further ado, let's say a huge, huge thank you to October's Patreon patrons, Hawk Robinson.
Sorry, wrong page. James Peters.
Wasn't Jen Page. Leslie Sedlak.
Rob McLennan.
Stuart Hume.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Gordon D. Duke.
Dennis Nickel.
Jay Blanken.
Casey Lee.
Dougie Sharp.
Laura Red Scott.
Seth M. Davis.
Todd McKimmy.
Lada Jerv.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Brad McGowan.
Beau Pritchard.
Tim Martin.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Rifenberry.
And Rival Guy.
Rival Guy? I don't know. That sounds made up.